Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our worship today. Today, we begin the season of Lent, the journey with our Savior to Calvary's cross. In our message today, we're going to hear the account of the temptation of our Lord in the wilderness. It reminds us of how we can defeat the devil. Ephesians 6, verse 11 says, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil." With the word of God, we can overcome. So let us begin then our service in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him. We deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, we confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways, I have sinned against you. I do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, Lord. According to your unfailing love, cleanse me from my sin. Take away my guilt. Well, dear friends, God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven us all of our sins. By the perfect life, the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed our guilt forever. We are his own dear children. May God give us the strength to live according to his will. Amen. We pray. Lord, the battle of good and evil rages within and around us. Our ancient foe tempts us with his deceits and empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word. And when we fall, raise us up again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The lesson that we will turn to then is the epistle lesson for today from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. Since God did not spare his own Son to free us from the condemnation of sin, none of the troubles that we face in this life could ever separate us from God's love. Let us hear these words then from Romans 8. We'll begin reading at verse 31. What then will we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Indeed, he who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things along with him? Who will bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus, who died and more than that was raised to life, is the one who is at God's right hand and who is interceding for us. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will trouble or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, neither things present nor things to come, nor powerful forces, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is God's word. And we join together in confessing our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And we turn then to the Word of God, the Gospel lesson for today, for our meditation. The words from Mark chapter 1. We'll read verses 12 to 13. Last week we celebrated the transfiguration of our Lord. We were up on the mountain. We saw the glory of Jesus as Peter, James saw it, as Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah. And Peter was the one that said, "Lord, can we stay here? Let's build some shelters." It gave us a glimpse of the glory that is Jesus's now, the glory that he had left to come on this earth, to live as true man, to humble himself, to be obedient to death, even death on a cross. He comes back down that mountain to walk to Calvary's cross. Today, our reading has taken us back to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Shortly after he was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, he is led out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And we see now then the purpose of why Jesus came. And we see the fulfillment then on Calvary's cross when he pays the debt. The victory is cried. It is finished. And so today then, we turn then to Mark 1, 12 to 13. We go back following the baptism of our Lord. We read verse 12. The Spirit immediately sent Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels were serving him. This is the Word of God. After looking at the readings appointed for this first Sunday of Lent, I looked out the window and saw a bird on this property that I don't think I have seen before. I've seen the bird before, but not here. It was a woodpecker. He was on a mesquite tree. Now, it was just interesting that right after reading this lesson, to see a woodpecker. Because what does a woodpecker do? His little head just kept going up and down. Peck, peck, peck. What does he peck for? The answer, of course, is for an insect. And I watched as the woodpecker continued his search. When the woodpecker doesn't find any insects at one spot, he moves just a little bit over and begins the pecking again. And there he goes again. He moves a little bit more and again and again. And finally, he'll hit what he's looking for. Having just read these words of our lesson and thinking about the temptation of our Lord by the devil in the wilderness, that woodpecker reminded me of Satan. That's how Satan works. The devil just pecks and pecks and pecks until he finds something in our lives that leads us down a path away from the Lord. Satan doesn't get tired. He doesn't get frustrated. He just keeps on pecking. The water on Jesus' head from his baptism had barely dried when Jesus was led into the wilderness. And for the next 40 days, Satan kept attacking. He kept pecking at our Savior. It is here, then, that we learn some things that we need to know about the devil and we need to remember about the devil. The first thing is that the devil is real. The second thing we're going to learn is he's relentless. The third thing we're going to hear is that he attacks our weaknesses. And the fourth and final, the greatest of all, is the devil is defeated. First of all, he's real. Verse 13. Jesus was tempted by Satan. It is getting more and more common for you to hear a theologian asked if he believes in hell. The particular French theologian that I heard said, "Yeah, I believe in hell because that's a dogma, that's a teaching of the church." But then he added, "I don't believe there's anybody in hell." Many people are believing that way about hell, that it's not real. And therefore, many people believe that same way about the devil. To many, the devil is a cartoon character to giggle about. The devil is portrayed as a little guy who runs around in red underwear, who has pointed ears and a pitchfork. The Bible paints a very different picture of the devil. The devil is a fallen angel who is very powerful. He's an angel who rebelled against God shortly after creation. The Bible refers to him as the Prince of Darkness, the Father of Lies, the roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He has but one purpose, and that is to destroy our faith, to make us as miserable and as helpless and as doomed and damned as he is. There is a second thing that we need to know and remember about the devil. Not only is he real, he's like the woodpecker. He's relentless. Again, our text says Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. Jesus faced a 40-day onslaught, a period in which the devil hit Jesus hard. But it went beyond those 40 days. Satan attacked Jesus relentlessly, and why wouldn't he? Jesus was his greatest enemy. After Adam and Eve had disobeyed the Lord and had eaten from the tree that he commanded them not to eat from, what did God promise? Genesis 3:15 tells us that God turned to the devil and he said, and I'll paraphrase, "Someday, somewhere, a descendant of the woman is going to come into the world and crush your head. I'm not going to tell you when, but as surely as I am God, it is going to happen." Well, that must have driven the devil crazy. Which baby born would be the one? Which one is going to try to crush my head? Then we see this Jesus of Nazareth standing knee-deep in the Jordan River in the verse immediately before our lesson today. And we hear a voice from heaven say, "You are my son whom I love. I am well pleased with you." Do you think the devil was listening? Of course he was. Now the devil had but one target. If he could get Jesus to fall into a trap, into sin, he'd have the whole human race in his control forever. And that takes us then to this 40-day battle in the wilderness. Jesus was the devil's greatest enemy. But dear Christians, as God's children, we are also great enemies of Satan. We pose a threat to the devil as the Lord uses us to share the good news with others. And as great enemies, we also are under great attack. Green, blue, yellow, orange, red. Do you know what that color scheme, what they represent? From the lowest to the highest, these colors represent the threat conditions against our nation. Threats identified by the Homeland Security System. Green, the lowest. Red, the highest. While Jesus was in the desert, the color was red. When he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, the color was red. While on the cross, it was red. The gravity of Satan's attacks were at their highest level. Satan operates in the same way with each of us. The color may change at times. The threat of the attack rises and falls, but there's always the threat. The devil is relentless in his attacks. He's real, he's relentless, and there's a third thing to know and remember. He attacks our weaknesses. A common misconception regarding the temptations of Jesus is, so what? Jesus was God, so it's easy for him to say no to the devil. That is not true. When Jesus walked this earth, he laid aside his power as true God. He performed miracles at times, to point to the fact that he was who he claimed to be. He was the Messiah, the Christ. But Jesus lived his earthly life exactly like you and I live our lives. Luke's gospel tells us that Jesus had not eaten anything during those 40 days. As true man, he is hungry. Just like you and I would be hungry after 40 days. And it's no brainer then for Satan to come to tempt Jesus using that angle. He did it to have Jesus tempt to be doubting God's love. Jesus, if God really loved you, would he be treating you like this? Why doesn't he give you some food? Does that temptation sound familiar? If God really loves you, why is your loved one sick? Why did your loved one die? Why is the checkbook in such a mess? Satan attacks our weaknesses. If it is greed, he will tempt you with money. If it is lust, he'll tempt you with sex. If it is impatience, he'll tempt you with anger. If it's work, he will tempt you with promotions. And one of the strongest temptations that Satan throws our way is that we have to have something, or we have to do something to feel satisfied and to be happy. That is one of Satan's most appealing lies. He used it successfully on Adam and Eve. We often speak about how he tempted them to doubt God's word. Did God really say, he said to Eve? Well, he also tempted them that they could do something or have something that would make them happier. And it worked with Eve and Adam. He used it successfully on King David. He had everything. But you'll be happier. You'll be more satisfied, as he looked at Bathsheba. He used it successfully on Judas. And of course he uses it on you and me. The devil is real. He's relentless. He attacks our weaknesses. And there is one final thing that we need to know about the devil. It's the most important thing of all. The devil is defeated. The other Bible writers describe how Jesus fought off Satan and won. Jesus struck down Satan with the power of God's word. Jesus answered, "It is written," 3 times. Mark indicates Jesus' triumph with the comment, "Angels attended him." God's word tells us the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Here in the wilderness, we see that truth in action. On Calvary's cross, we see that truth completed. In the wilderness, Jesus defeated the devil with 3 words. "It is written." On the cross, Jesus once and for all defeated the devil with these 3 words. "It is finished." Jesus' weapon was always the Word of God. The same word that you and I have. My friends, not a day is going by in our lives when, like the woodpecker, the devil will come in some fashion and he'll begin pecking away. He's relentless. He's real. He'll attack our weaknesses. But he is defeated. Picture me holding a rifle, a gun. Imagine it's a powerful gun. You can visualize that. And now imagine me holding a knife that I got from the kitchen. Whatever Satan tempts you with is like the knife. With the word of God, you have the gun. Satan has the knife. You have the gun. Satan always has the knife. But you always have the gun. Who wins? You can come to your own conclusion on that. We know God's word, the gun, always wins. Use that word of God. Be in that word of God. Don't leave home without that word of God. Make it a part of your daily life. It is written. He is real. He's relentless. He attacks our weaknesses. But that word assures us he is defeated by Jesus and with us when we use God's word. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray. Lord Jesus, you suffered the temptation of Satan in our place. You defeated him for us. You have given us the power to rise above the temptations of the evil one. In our daily struggle against the spiritual forces of darkness, and in our inner battle with our own sinful nature, shield us with your divine protection. Strengthen us with your grace, that we may stand firm in every temptation, and finally overcome and obtain the victory. We pray this in the name of our Savior, who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My dear friends, go in peace and live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. God bless you. Once again, remember that on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, we will hear the second chapter of The Crossroads of Our Lord. And that will come to you as early as possible on Wednesday. God bless you. Have a great weekend.